Anybody want to stand for the pledge?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, boy.
I do not like this chair.
First, is there any public comments that have to do with the items on the agenda? No? Need to approve the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes as they are.
I'm holding. Approve the minutes.
You're second. Whoever redid it.
Huh? I'm the second.
You're a second.
All right. I didn't hear it come from down the other end.
We need to approve the agenda. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
We need a vote, Greg. Hold on. We need a vote on the minutes.
Excuse me. Everybody in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Unanimous? Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'd like to receive a report from the Sandy Valley Volunteer Fire Department.
Hey, Bob. Some of the oldest paperwork I can find in the fire department dates us coming back to 89, so we're coming up on 30 years of service in this community now. In all that time, we've only had a handful of folks that have really just, I mean, everybody gives it their all, but there's only a handful of folks that have actually really stood out there, and there was no question that was the person that everyone strove to be. Bob, 15 years of service, and I don't know how to say thank you. I really don't.
It's been my pleasure to serve the community.
Okay, stand there for a second. Hold it up. All right, thanks.
Can we get one?
What this is an honorary lifetime member to our organization. Every community has members that stand out. The Sandy Valley Volunteer Fire Department has been honored with the participation, commitment, dedication, and service to the community by these members. Membership of the Sandy Valley Volunteer Fire Department has voted Robert Skelton, to honorary life member, and thanks for his years of service.
Absolutely.
Calls of service.
I'd like to receive a report from Metro, if you have one.
We don't really have anything to report, but you got something for us. Only thing new, you'll see, I guess, we got our cameras. So if you call us to your house, make sure it's clean. Other than that, that's not the only thing. There might be seeing some new faces, too, I guess, because ever since the incident that happened at the Gold Strike, if one of us are off, they're going to call a town unit to come fill in for us so we're not working alone. So you might see some town guys out here working that you don't know. That might be the only thing really new.
Okay.
Any questions for us?
No. Super report from Sandy Valley Schools.
I do have a report. Just for everyone to know, there are basketball, it's middle school basketball and softball and baseball schedules over there on the table. Sandy Valley and Good Springs have started working with the community school organizational teams to determine budgets and plans for next school year. And with that schedule, on Saturday 3/25, there might be a Tonopah softball game along with baseball. And that's from the principal, Ms. Alexander. Any questions?
We get a report from Clark County Parks and Recreation.
No. She said no.
Okay. Clark County Administrative Services.
All right, that's me. I'll stand up. And I love seeing a huge room like this. All of you come back every month. We do this every month, get together like this. On the Sandy Valley Road, I talked to Angelo, our director of roads for the county. We are still working with BLM. He said things are looking positive in the right direction to have some sort of agreement with BLM so we can take better care and do upgrades on the road. So until we have that agreement done, we are stuck with the way it is right now, which we all understand is not great, but we're holding out for better stuff in the future. The Terrible's development in Gene, for those of you who don't know, Terrible's has approvals for a huge, I don't want to say truck stop because it's not going to be trucks. It's going to be a huge convenience store, deli, restaurant, all sorts of stuff. It's been in plan check for a while and it kind of was stopped in plan check. I talked to the architect this morning and they are gearing back up on that and going to start moving ahead. He doesn't have a date for groundbreaking, but he says sooner rather than later, and they are working with NDOT, which I know you'll all be glad to know because we all know about the backups that happen there on Sundays, especially holiday weekends. The new development is gonna have, I think, 96 gas pumps. And I think most of you realize that's what causes the backup is everybody's waiting to get in line for gas at the little Chevron. So this, just that alone is gonna be a huge help in moving traffic there. But they're working with NDOT to redo that whole intersection there to help the traffic flow in and out of that center. And this is across the street. I guess there's been some confusion about where this is going. This is going on the south side of the road where the trucks park now, across from the Chevron. So that's what it's planned for. And then update on the waiver we heard last month for Don Haviland's tiny house. It was approved by the Planning Commission. And I think a lot of you have seen it in place as you come down Quartz, that little 300 square foot tiny house. So that was the first of its kind in Clark County to be approved. So that's pretty exciting. We have it right here in Sandy Valley. So we have more exciting stuff from the county coming up. But do you have any questions for me right now?
Thank you.
Planning and zoning. DR-0013-17, Clark County Administrative Design Review.
My name's Roland Wisdom. I work for Real Property Management for Clark County. So we're going to put up some boards here, and we're really excited about the project that's going to be coming up very soon. I was here about a year ago. And that was how we presented the restroom. So that came up and it was successful. Well, this project is threefold. First of all, is to upgrade the water system for the park. So we're gonna be drilling a well probably in the next couple months. We're gonna do some water testing to see what the water flow we get. Then we're going to move on to some park improvements. Those park improvements are going to include a splash pad, which we have here, some infrastructure for the water system, and then also a loop trail. So here's the site plan of the park. So if we look at this, here's the basketball, and then here's the baseball park. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a trail, loop trail, that comes around all the way through the outside. This is going to be concrete so that we can do some walking, rollerblading, whatever. I think it's going to be pretty exciting. Then the next portion of it is going to be a splash pad, which I think everybody's excited about. Megan presented that some time ago. The designer went ahead and gave us some renderings of what that might look like. That's going to be located near the restroom. Final location we're not quite sure about yet because we're still planning. But we have an enthusiastic group of people that get together once a week. And we've been hammering through all the design parameters, getting people's input, working with the budget that we have. And so we got the splash pad here. We got, I understand, a rock feature was one of the things that the community wanted.
Two things. When we voted, that was about 6-8 months ago, I brought in all the different options for features for the splash pad. And the two things, well, the three things that came out on top were rock features that look like natural rock forms and a lasso. So putting those two together was a little bit of a challenge. And the designers did a fantastic job and brought in Southwest and Western country elements. And so those two features are part of the design, the ones that the community voted on.
Can I ask a question? I don't live here in Sandy Valley. Where is this park at?
Right
here.
Right outside the
door. So it's behind the fire station, in other words.
And right out this door. If you walked out this door, you'd probably run into it, the splash pad.
Oh, okay. And it's not going over on the California side?
No.
All right.
It's all going to be encompassed within what we know as the park today. So we're not really going that far out of it, except for the trail that will be going around the backside of the ballpark.
Is it going to be brightly lighted?
Yes, we're going to have some lights, and we're going to upgrade the lighting system for the park. We haven't pinpointed exactly where we're going to do the lighting, but yes, it's definitely a lighting upgrade.
And do you know if the lights are going to be on all night?
No. That's going to be an operational thing that I think we can, or you as a community,
right. We've talked about the light. Do you mind if I
talk? No, go ahead.
I meet with them every week, so this is a really amazing project. The lights we've been talking about will be, in the evening, will be dim, and then when there's motion, they will brighten up and then dim back down. So that'll be around the whole park. Going out around the ball fields, we are not going to have lights. And I know. We talked about doing solar lights out there. They just don't last. They'd be cost prohibitive to do that. And then to run electricity all the way out there around the ball field, it just doesn't fit within the budget. So it's unfortunate, but that had to be cut. It just couldn't work to run all that electrical for a few lights. So, but it's a half mile trail, so you'll be able to gauge how far you've gone, and there'll be little medallions in the concrete that show the distance you've gone.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And exercise.
Yeah. Exercise. Oh, that's right. We're going to have some park exercise equipment.
But this isn't just like, I'll just take
over. Okay, go ahead. Come on.
This is an equipment like you used to have where it was like a bar and you'd step up or you'd lay down and just do sit-ups. This is an elliptical. These are like pieces from a gym, but they are made to be outside. They have it at Mountain's Edge Park right now. They have the same thing. It is so exciting. I don't have exact pictures of what the equipment's going to look like, but if you looked at it, you would think it's from a gym. And that we took out one of the sit-up benches. We combined two smaller elements so we could have the elliptical machine. So, and it's centrally located. So if you want to work out while your kid's playing baseball, while someone's on the splash pad, they're playing basketball, it's centrally located there by the bathroom so you can see everything that's going on right there.
Oh, nice.
So you're not going to have any baseball games at night?
No, we don't. We don't. Okay, lighting for the ball field is one of the items we put forward as a request this year for our budget, annual budget requests. So we'll see, maybe. But now they don't do night games.
Not right now, No.
No, if you don't do night games, you don't need it.
Because our school here is off on Fridays, so most of our games are Friday afternoon.
Okay.
they going to upgrade the existing play area then as well?
No. What this project consists of is a water system, then the splash pad, the exercise, and a trail. Those are the four elements for this project.
This is a $3 million project, and these are federal funds that we're using for this. This was Ken Anderson was our representative of CDAC, and when this project came up, it came about first because of the well. I think most of you understand that there are problems with the wells on this site. They compete with one another. I've been told when you flush a bathroom at the senior center, the right. Things go down in other places. It's the system out here is screwy. So when it was time to come up with ideas for how to use federal funds that come into the county, this idea came up and it was brought up in a meeting and said, can we use federal funds? Can these CDAC funds be used for a water system? And yes, they could. And so this all built upon that. So the majority of the funding, unfortunately, is going for the well system, but that's how we got all the money. That's how we got this big pot of money that's allowing us to do all these other things. So the existing play equipment, it was not a part of that. What was a part of the grant request was the well system, a splash pad, a walking trail, and exercise equipment.
Will they ever upgrade our playground area?
If that's something you think is important, then when we do the budget request, come and make that a part of the budget
Absolutely.
Request.
I think that'd be a good idea.
A tot lot was one of the budget requests this year.
A what?
A tot lot, so play equipment for little kids. We did the budget requests, and it's always on the agenda, so watch for it. In October, I came out and said, give me all your ideas. Put them all on there. And we sent that list to Roland's department, and they put numbers on it, and we put those ideas in prioritized in different ways. So a tot lot was something that was requested.
Because the flooring out there, the cushiony thing needs to be replaced really bad, and I just thought that might be something that you put on the agenda or whatever to do.
Yeah, that'll be something for a later project. Mm-hmm. But we'll go ahead and note that down so that we can put that in whoever needs to put that on their list of priorities.
And the exercise equipment will be covered, will be shaded.
Yeah.
And the shade is the same design or very similar design to what's over the play equipment.
The sales.
So the goal of this whole project has been to make it look like this is how the park was always meant to be. And I think if you've been out to see the bathrooms and the sidewalk that they put in there, it looks like that sidewalk has been here forever. The sidewalk that goes over to the senior center.
Yeah.
It's amazing, even a couple days after it's put in, it feels like integral to the whole site, like it was always there. And that's the goal of this project, for everything to feel like it's cohesive, it goes together, and it was always meant to be here.
Megan, if you could share how it's, and I apologize if it's okay if I speak.
This is Commissioner Brager for anybody who hasn't met her.
I think they need to know how difficult it is to get this money. And the reason is all seven commissioners, we're all trying to get something for our communities. And so it has to rise in the list and has to be X amount of a project. And so it just takes more than I think what people think. And a lot of times some of the other commissioners are like, well, we have all these thousands of people. And to me, Sandy Valley, Good Springs, Mountain Springs, Blue Diamond are as important as the people in town. So you just have to kind of fight for what you think is right for a community. So this, to me, is pretty fantastic. And it will grow from there. I mean, it took years to get the school to be K-12. Years ago when I was on the school board, I used to meet in high schoolers at Durango because they'd never been anywhere.
And I remember when that lot was just sand.
Exactly.
And metal. Covered it all. Right. So it has been upgraded.
It's unfortunate it takes so long, but there are so many needs, but you just have to keep fighting for it. But really, when you did drive into school, the school was bigger than the town. So it was always like, let's go see it in the summer so that, you can kind of feel what it looks like. You don't feel so lost.
But yeah, this project was up against, I think, 30 or 40. I think CDAC, they look at 30 or 40 different projects. And some of them, a lot of them focus on homeless, housing for homeless, housing for abused women, shelters like that. And there are a few projects like this. And this project was put together so well, the description, that the CDAC board is made of people. We usually, we send someone, actually it's Ken Dershen again this year. Every town board sends someone. And then there's at-large positions. So there's a group of people that sit down every week, it's every week, or every month?
Once a month
for several months and look at every proposal. And this was voted number one by a huge margin, as this was the project to move forward with. So everyone throughout Clark County recognized the goodness in this project and why it would be so good for the community. So this is just exciting on many levels. So.
Do you have a completion, or when they're
going to
start it, and a date for?
Don't say. We know.
No.
Right.
Okay.
The process of accounting is 9 to 15 months.
And this is
yeah.
not what we're going to do.
Right.
So
on Tuesday,
yeah.
when it gets
voted
on Wednesday.
Counting projects.
A very serious discussion.
Yeah. Counting projects take a long time.
Sure.
And we all know this. We know how long the bathrooms took. It. I know. Believe me, it's frustrating to us too. But if you guys know me, I sit, and they can attest to this, I sit in this meeting every week and I say, how are we going to speed this up? Where can we cut time? What can I do to make this faster? So that's why we're meeting on Valentine's Day, partly, because normally we would probably not, because many town boards didn't meet tonight. That's why we're here today, because if we waited until next month, it would put another month out. And we don't have another month out. So, yeah, so I'm forcing these guys to speed up every second I get. So
and we're doing it.
The completion date is way further out than I'm going to say, because that...
But we're going to look to move it up 6 months.
Yes. So we are doing everything we can, to get this going as soon as possible.
It's beautiful. Thank you guys.
I just wanted to say thank you to Megan and Commissioner Brager for finally getting us bathrooms after 24 years.
That was all the commissioner, wasn't me. I unlocked them, though. I'll take that. I unlocked them.
Hey, I tell them there's a relapse there for just a short while. Well, they test the well.
Right. There'll be a couple days, just so everybody knows that, you know, when you're doing an overhaul on a water system, there may be a couple days when the library will have to be closed because there will be no water, or maybe they'll just have not have water, and we'll have porta potties for a couple days as they test the well. So there will be some, you know, things like that along the way, but we'll have plenty of notice, and we'll figure it out. It'll be worth it in the end. So, but we do need a motion on this.
If somebody wants to.
Well, hopefully saying you like it and you want to continue it. But then, they do have to come for us. It's a design review. It's a land use application. So we do need a motion and the vote.
I'll so move.
Okay. To approve? Okay.
Does anybody in favor be approved?
Approved.
100%.
All right.
Unanimously. So when can we retire the push signs that says men and ladies?
No.
Put that in the museum.
Can you guys leave these and I'll bring them tomorrow?
It's just in time. We were going to have to move the different ones. Okay.
Yeah, I'll bring them in tomorrow.
Bring them next Wednesday morning.
Yeah. So I will, they'll leave these tonight. So when the meeting's over, please come look and I can probably answer a lot of the questions about them. Especially the splash pad, it's so cool looking. And then I'll bring them in tomorrow. So
I just need my music back.
Oh, tonight. I'll bring everyone. Okay. And you guys can go if you want.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Jason Allswang. Mm-hmm. How's that pronounced?
Sure, I'll take it.
Okay.
Take one down, pass it around.
He is the chief of Clark County Animal Control. We'll discuss animal control issues and laws.
I'll take it. Thank you. Jason Allswang, chief of code enforcement, animal control, graffiti abatement, and whatever else they put on my plate. So first off, thanks, Megan, for inviting me here on Valentine's Day. This saves me from having to buy my wife dinner.
Oh. That's okay. We have flowers.
Yeah.
Just hang on. Plus, she lured me with the poop emoji chocolate. So get some of those poop emoji fudge. She told me they're really
good.
Fun.
They're actually fudge. They do taste good.
Okay. I haven't tried it yet. For you kids, I do have some coloring books in the back. If you guys want to take those, they are in Spanish, but you can color them the same as and it's a good way. It is a good way to learn Spanish. Okay.
What country do you live in?
Los Estados Unidos. Megan and JD, your local dog rescuer, asked me to come and talk to you guys about animal laws, what it is animal control does, what we don't do, and kind of some of the laws that relate to animals, not just in Sandy Valley, but pretty much everywhere in Clark County. What I've handed out to the board is a guide. I have a bunch in the back as well of animal control services from the county. Also, one of the main reasons we have a lot of our animal control laws, this guide about rabies, and that's in the back as well. One of the big things we find in our rural communities, one of the biggest laws that's violated is the restraint law or the leash law, where people just allow their animals to roam free. And this book is a good read for why you don't want to let your animals roam free. So a couple reasons. Number one, obviously you have a lot of coyotes in the area. Coyotes are going to look for smaller animals to prey upon. Coyotes are a rabies vector species. You also have bats that are rabies vector species. And again, any bite from a mammal, a coyote, a bat, it could even be a dog or a cat, can cause the potential for rabies. The reason we have the leash law, number one, is we don't want your animals to be off your property and be the victim of getting attacked by another animal. We also don't want your animals off your property attacking other animals or other people. Average, our office responds to 30 bites a week from mammals in Clark County. That's just mammals. So we're not doing any reptile bites, we're not doing any bird bites. We are just doing bites that are almost all from dogs. Of those 30, almost all of them are from dogs. Some of them are from cats, but the vast majority dogs. And the vast majority of those bites that don't occur in somebody's home occur because of an off-leash animal. Not included in that number of 30 bites a week, and those are only bites to a human, not included in that number are bites from an animal to another animal. That's about another 30 a week that we do throughout unincorporated Clark County. And so, again, this is usually what we find is that one or both of the animals involved in the incident are off-leash or not restrained properly by their owner or their handler, and it usually results in some injuries to an animal, and then the happy owner that tries to break it up may oftentimes become another victim by sticking their hand in to try to break up the fight. When that happens, there's a lot of liability issues. So we will investigate from a criminal aspect whether or not any laws have been violated and potentially pursue criminal charges against someone. But then you also are open to civil liability for anything that your animal may do to somebody else. What will often happen is that one of our criminal cases will then be used to support a civil case. And that's a situation that I don't think anybody wants to be in when, if you properly restrain your animal, you probably avoid that situation. Another big issue we deal with is spay-neuter. Also properly tagging animals. So spay-neuter, the way it works is if you have a dog, a cat, a ferret, pot-bellied pig, or a pet rabbit, and you keep that animal at your home, you are required to have that animal sterilized. We have plenty of animals at the shelter and throughout with all the rescues in town here, and in town in Vegas. We don't need to be making more, okay? So the county requires that all of those animals be spayed or neutered. Yes, sir.
People breed rabbits commercially.
Correct.
How do you do that when you've spayed and neutered them?
They have a special license to do so. Now, I can tell you, we don't have anybody locally that's properly licensed, and I say locally, anywhere in unincorporated Clark County that is licensed to breed any type of rabbits. Now, your 4-H's and your agricultural projects are exempt from any of that anyway, but we don't have any commercial breeders properly licensed in unincorporated Clark County. If you want to give me addresses, I can go. I'm available.
Well, we don't do that out here.
And that's a good point. You don't, and you guys don't do a lot out here as far as calling us. We don't come out very often. And you guys are the same as almost all the other rurals. You really don't want to see us. You take care of your own issues primarily, but we are available as a resource if you do want to see us, right? Not everybody's as nice as, and friendly as me, but we'll try to send them out here with a smile, and they'll pay you a visit. But yeah, we do find most people in the rurals just want to take care of things in a neighborly fashion, and they don't involve us. But we are here if anybody does need us. But yeah, the sterilization is a very big issue for us. Now we do have dog and cat breeders. Dog and cat breeders can get a license from us so that they can reproduce. Those animals do have to be show animals though. So what we're trying to do is, if you have a good lineage, you can reproduce in that lineage and create more show animals.
I have a question. What do you do when people don't get their animals spayed or neutered and you see them selling or giving away their puppies that they got because their dog got accidentally pregnant? How do you handle that? And you see this person continually doing this.
So accidents happen.
Well, but if they got their dog spayed or neutered, it wouldn't be an accident.
That's right. So number one is we are generally complaint-based. Unless we see something going on, we will respond right then and there. If somebody were to call us with an address of somebody who is selling animals, we will pay them a visit. If they have animals that aren't intact, they will be given an opportunity to fix that. They essentially get a ticket, get 3 weeks to get it fixed. If they fix it, then we void the citation. If they don't fix it, then they're going to have to go to court. And the judge is going to make them fix it before their case is dismissed.
So is it also, I've done some reading, unlawful to sell or even give away without these puppies, the kittens, either already spayed and neutered, or if you give them to somebody, they have to spay and neuter them?
So it is unlawful for anyone to possess a baby of any of those five species, dog, cat, pot-belly pig, rabbit, or ferret. It's unlawful to possess any of those babies unless they were born to an animal that has a permit, right? So the short answer is they may not have those animals. However, those animals are property, and so we can't just take them. We'd have to go through the proper channels and secure a seizure warrant.
But there's a responsibility is what I'm trying to get at. For the people that are selling or giving them away, to make sure that the ones that they're giving away either are spayed or neutered, or they have them, the people taking them have the responsibility to get that animal spayed or neutered.
Right, so by 4 months of age, every animal needs to be spayed or neutered or provided with an exemption from a vet.
Okay, that's what I was saying.
And that exemption needs to specify if it's permanent or if it's until, you know, a larger breed animal, it may be until it's one. Whatever the age, appropriate age is going to be.
What about horses, specifically studs? Does that?
I know a little bit about studs because I look in the mirror in the morning.
That's
right, I got four boys.
Is that an issue? I mean, do you have to have a permit to have a stud on your property as opposed to
horses? Only those five species.
Okay.
That would, those would fall under the...
Yes, sir.
I know this is not an issue in town, but here in the country, we have issues with mice, which means most places it's a good idea to have a cat. Like, if we spay and neuter those, how are we going to control our mice?
Well,
since you can't have show cats running all over the valley.
So,
great question.
Sterilized animals are going to behave almost the same as a non-sterilized animal, and in fact, they live longer generally. So the cat that you put out there after you sterilize it is going to chase those same mice, eat those same mice, and you'll probably have them for a couple years longer.
And what happens when we run out of cats because we've sterilized them all?
We've probably got a several hundred year supply of cats in Las Vegas. We can bring them out if you want. We can bring the adoption van out.
There you go. No, there's too many.
You're going to have either three cats or spend $100 or $150 on an adoption cat. That's kind of silly.
No. They almost always give the cats away for either free or for next to nothing.
Jason, we could bring out one of the cat colonies.
And there's an area in Spring Valley where there's unpaved roads and. Reckless cats. We can bring them out here.
No, there's plenty of cats out here.
Give me that address as well. I'll be right there.
There are plenty of cats. I'm just saying it's not a good idea to sterilize them all.
Well, so the law disagrees, but...
Well, that's because the law is made by city people who don't have mice problems because they're raising livestock.
I don't have a pest problem because I have a cat. But no, understood. Mm-hmm. And when we do run out of cats... Oh, we'll change the law. Well, I won't. I'm going to put that in my will.
And we'll not sterilize the cats that we don't have unsterilized.
No, we'll have show cats. There's plenty. Yeah.
Don't try to confuse me with all that. So, anyway, I honestly, you guys kind of know what we do. I've got these brochures. Take them. Don't take them. Whatever you do, because remember, I do also do code enforcement. So don't just throw them on the ground, because that's not good. So, but I'm here to answer any other questions. If you guys have any other questions, please. I'm happy to answer.
I have a question.
And I'll just defer to the chair. I don't know how long he wants to spend on this, but I can hang out for a little bit afterwards. So.
Okay.
Your call.
Thank you very much for giving us some information.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You got a question.
I'll stick around. Okay. I'll talk.
JD?
Yeah, I just wondered if you could give us an idea of an average times that animal control is called out here, a month or a week, or, you know, you said not much, but can you give us any kind of a number, a ballpark number?
Excluding your calls to me?
Yeah.
probably twice a month.
Twice a month?
Yeah. Which is on the lower, the other... Similar rural as far as population would be Bunkerville, obviously more densely populated, so to speak. And we did about three a month in Bunkerville.
Do you have an emergency number to call?
Yes. So when our dispatch is closed, the emergency number is 311. Metro Dispatch. We always have somebody logged on with Metro Dispatch.
And it's not a recording?
No. So our phone system... if you call our animal control dispatch, they're open 6 a.m. to 4:15 p.m. 7 days a week. If we're short-staffed, which we are sometimes, they may not be answering live calls, and it'll be a voicemail. It'll also be voicemail outside of those times. However, on that voicemail, it says if you're having an emergency, an animal emergency, call 311. If it's a human emergency, call 911. Right? If you call 311.
See out here, there was a badger, a huge badger around here, about 4 years ago in the park. And there were some people that worked for animal control. They lived down the street. And we went to go talk to them. And the lady told me to get off the property. She wasn't working. I'm like, okay, can I have another call? It wasn't like I needed to call the police, but the badger was running around the park where all the children were, and I made all the children come get in my vehicle. Mm-hmm. And they weren't all my children.
So,
I was like, okay, there's got to be a number that you can call to get them out, get someone out here to take care of this.
It's 311, but I'll tell
you. That would have been the Department of Wildlife problem.
Well, so here, yes, so they... yes, that is a department of wildlife. The badgers, the raccoons, I don't know if you guys have raccoons out here, but coyotes, badgers, whatever other, mountain lions, if you see them coming through, those are Department of Wildlife problems, but Department of Wildlife doesn't respond unless you're illegally hunting those animals. So if you have those animals on school grounds, on park grounds, if they are a threat to kids that are walking to school, we will respond. But 999 times out of 1,000, our closest officer is going to be somewhere in the Las Vegas Valley. Because of the almost 40,000 calls for service that our officers respond to, about 39,000 plus are up there in the valley. So it's going to be a good amount of time before somebody responds.
If you call and say there's an animal threatening the kids here, more likely it's going to go through our dispatch. They're going to dispatch us as well with them, and we're probably going to get here well before they, then handle it.
Well, I just wanted to get all those kids home. My son, one of my grandsons ran over and knocked the trash can over, and then the badger come back and started climbing in the trash can. I know he was over here because he was hungry. But that's kind of dangerous there. I mean, there was probably 20 kids here at the park that day.
Yeah, and generally those animals are not going to approach a human, again, unless they are rabid, which, and I'll tell you.
It was, but I think he was very hungry.
Well, sure. And so, like they said, Metro, if they have resources closer, they can do that. If NHP has a resource that's closest, they may be the responding agency, but, with such a vast area that your Metro guys cover, and they're doing, the southwest part of the county, we're doing all of the county, response times can take a while. That officer no longer lives here in Sandy Valley. You probably notice her truck's not here anymore. And while she may have been able to say it to you in a nicer manner, when they're not, the reason they take their trucks home is so they can respond to an emergency. If I call them and say, I need you to come out to such and such emergency, that's how that works. She's living elsewhere now.
Can I ask? I have a question. I need to.
I'll defer to the chairs if he wants to.
It's kind of an issue. I mean,
is it an issue that everybody needs to know about, or just
yes.
one?
Well, yes, yeah. I wonder. Did somebody say something? When animal control is called out for one issue, what happened was the animal control officer walked on my property, had nothing to do with what the call was for, and wanted to cite me for things, for poop in my corral, basically is what it amounts to. And number one, I want to know, is she allowed to be on my property when I'm not home?
No.
Well, I don't know your property, I can't answer.
Right, but I'm just saying, this was called out for a dog issue, and I ended up getting cited for something, had nothing to do, and she had to be on my property to see it.
Same lady as the one she's talking about?
No.
Oh.
This was just recently.
Okay. Give me your address and I'll look it up afterwards. Just so we can see. We do have, so we're not peace officers, so we don't get the same education and training that Metro gets, and so, we do our best to educate our officers on Fourth Amendment and property rights.
Okay.
I'll look into it and see.
Okay. Because poop on the ground out here is a common occurrence.
I understand, because you guys didn't even have a bathroom to go in, so. I heard you ran out of
holes today. It's horse
poop. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're good.
I do one last thing that made me, when I was going to make fun of Megan, that made me think of it. Megan has a microchip scanner, and I think it's in this building?
I have it with me, because I'm only here on Tuesdays. But if you find an animal and you need it scanned, most of you know how to get a hold of me, and I will bring it to where you are.
Okay. JD also has a scanner. We've donated a scanner to his rescue. So if you do find an animal and you don't know who it belongs to, I think most of you know how to get a hold of JD and Megan. Please do that. If you can handle it all internally without us having to come out, that's great. If you want us to come out and deal with it, we will. whatever makes you guys
happy. If you don't know how to get a hold of Megan, Shauna's usually here, she does.
Okay. And I'll stick around if anybody has anything else that they want to talk about privately.
Okay, thank you very
Thanks.
Much.
Thanks.
Do we have any comments from the public on anything not on the agenda? You're fine there.
Okay. My name is Sarah Doffy, and I go to Sandy Valley Baptist Church. My husband has recently become the pastor there. I'm curious about signs. If we are able to put signs along the zigzag or like at the four corners.
I'll talk to you about it after the meeting.
Okay. That's it. Short and sweet.
Anybody else? Senior Center doing anything interesting?
Breakfast.
Nobody wants to tell me about it?
Breakfast this Saturday?
Yep.
This Saturday, Senior Center breakfast, 8:30, 8 to 10:30. Is that right? It's delicious. Do not order the biscuits and gravy and four pancakes like my husband did, because that's too much food. Even he couldn't eat it, and he's a big boy.
You're also adding eggs.
Yeah, when do the eggs start?
Is it this Saturday or next
Saturday? Oh, we're ready for that. Okay,
the Monday before that, and then the Monday following that, on the 20th, the coffee and donuts.
Jason.
Can I clarify the date on the breakfast? Is it this Saturday or next Saturday?
It's this Saturday, May 8th.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's the third Saturday.
Okay, thank you.
Is that it?
That's it.
Next meeting is March 14th. Do I have a motion for adjournment?
I'll so move.
And I second it.
I just got one question.
All in favor?
One question. There's a big deal. How many people actually live in San Diego?
About 1,800.
It's a bad question because there was only 2,000 willing to be counted at the last census.
It's about 1,800.
That's an understatement, George.
Okay.
Thank you.
Meeting is adjourned. See everybody next month. I don't think so.